that wasn't enough news for today, the Supreme Court helped us out as well with four major decisions that the justices released today that amount to a win for supporters of affirmative action, a setback for President Obama's immigration plan, and significant implications for mandatory minimum sentencing. Well, joining us now to help us understand all of it is Nancy Gertner. She's a retired federal judge and current Harvard Law School professor and WBUR's legal analyst. Judge Gertner, welcome back.
Nice to be here.
So we've got someone along with you today.
Yes.
Joining us on the line from Harvard University is Charles Freed. He's a professor at Harvard Law School, and he served as U.S. Solicitor General under President Ronald Reagan. Professor Freed, it's great to have you back on the program
nice
as well.
Nice to be here.
Well, so first of all, let's dive into the affirmative action case. This is the Fisher v. Texas, University of Texas case. It's the second time the Supreme Court has heard it. Major ruling, 4-3 in favor of the University of Texas, saying that the university can consider race in its admissions criteria. Judge Gertner, your initial thoughts on what this ruling means?
Well, I mean, it keeps the issue in the air. It was a fact-based decision, affirming a very fact-based decision from the court below. In other words, the very complexity of the UT program basically gave confidence to the court that it was not exclusively race-based. I mean, this was a program, very interesting program, has implications for Boston Latin as well, that had reserved spaces in UT for those who had graduated in the top 10% of Texas schools, mm-hmm. so that it basically privileged those who had gone to Texas schools, which in fact helped the diversity of the school. The court found that there was essentially sufficient justification for the program. The court found that the school had looked at any alternatives and was satisfied with the what they call the less drastic means, and gave deference to the university administrators who were trying to promote diversity.
Okay. So, Professor Freed, I mean, given what Judge Gertner just said, that it seems as if the court tailored its decision specifically to the manner in which the University of Texas uses race in admissions, does that mean that this does or doesn't have implications for other institutions of higher ed across the country?
It has very great implications. You can't draw a straight line from what the court said to those implications. But every admissions officer and every administrator in any education and any institution of higher education will know what this means. And what it means is that the court is unwilling to come out with a clear-cut rule, either choosing between one extreme, which says because of our racial history and the demographics and so on, higher education can use explicit quotas till the end of time. That's one extreme. The other extreme is to say that the Constitution doesn't allow you to take race into account at all. Hmm. Now, ever since 1978, in the Bakke case from University of California, which was a case with a very explicit racial set-aside, where the court said, no, you can't do that, there has been a middle ground. You can do it, but you have to do it in the word that they use is holistic way. It can't be by the numbers,
right.
All of that. Now, the fact is that was an incoherent and a completely unspecific resolution, but what it told the administrators and what it told the higher educational community is you can take race into account, but you got to be careful how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't overdo it. And at some point, you may have to stop doing it.
One way of looking at it is to say that on the question of whether you can take race into account, the answer is it depends.
Oh.
The answer is it depends. It depends on the circumstances, how you do it, what findings. It depends.
I kind of disagree with that because I think everybody who's in that business, the admissions business, knows what you have to say, and they all know how to say it.
I don't think we disagree, but go on.
Well, but let me just jump in here, because they're currently in a Massachusetts federal court is a case working its way through the system there against Harvard University's affirmative action program, claiming that it's discriminatory. I mean, do you think that this Supreme Court ruling today, Professor Fried, would have an impact on that case?
Yes, it will. I suspect that that case will fail.
Mm. And Judge Gertner?
Because Harvard University is very adept at saying the right things and making the right findings, so that under this 1978 compromise, they are in the clear. They know how to do it. In fact, in 1978, the Supreme Court specifically cited Harvard as a model of what's okay, and Harvard hasn't changed since.
I do agree. I mean, I think that the issue, again, is the complexity of the program and the findings. It is interesting that whereas Bakke was phrased in terms of race preferences because of a history of discrimination, et cetera, this litigation and the litigation since Bakke is phrased in terms of diversity. And diversity arguably opens the door to claims by other members.
I think, Nancy, that's wrong. The resolution in Bakke was because of diversity. That's what they said. If the university does this in order to procure diversity, it's okay.
But
if it does it to cure historical injustices, that's not okay.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't have been more specific.
No, I think that that's fair. My point was just the difference between the historical injustice issue approach and the diversity approach. The diversity approach is what opens the door to the Harvard challenge. I don't think it would be successful. I agree with you. But it opens the door to that because it opens the door to a discussion of what other group is excluded. This group is excluded. That group is excluded. But I think you're right. Under this decision, I think the Harvard challenge will fail as well.
So I want to ask just one more quick question about this affirmative action case before touching on at least one of the other four cases that were decided today. Because I wonder how deep the impact of this decision might be. Because, I mean, just before we started our conversation with the two of you, we were talking about Boston Latin School, which went through two federal cases opposing or challenging quotas or set-asides that Boston Latin School had at one time in order to assure diversity amongst the students who were at Boston Latin. Now, it's
right.
A different kind of admissions process than the University of Texas is, but I'm wondering if this could have an impact on schools like that.
Actually, I was a judge during one of the programs, one of the challenges, and I had to recuse myself from it because that was a challenge in which set-asides for African-American students were based on the findings from the Boston desegregation case many years before.
Mm-hmm.
And the court, the First Circuit, quite rightfully said there really is no, there's a certain point at which those findings can't justify this program. But what is interesting about the Texas program is if race is part of a holistic determination, as Professor Fried was saying, and if the school, for example, privileged the applications of, let's say, the valedictorians of all the public schools in Boston, it could well achieve something comparable to what Texas did.
I see.
It's not, as I said, it's not saying we're doing this because of racial preferences based on the 40-year-old Boston desegregation case. We're doing it in the interest of diversity.
Yeah, there's a further difficulty in this. The 1978 decision and the University of Michigan
right.
decision and the Texas decision all make a big thing out of the fact that this is higher education, this is academic diversity, this is scholarly independence, and so on and so forth. And it's not at all clear that that translates into programs at the primary and secondary level. In fact, in a fairly recent case, the Supreme Court, that's called Parents Involved, the Supreme Court struck down a secondary school and primary school program which claimed to be concerned with diversity. So I'm not sure it translates so easily into the Boston Latin context.
We're almost out of time, Judge Gertner, but last thought goes to you.
Right. I issued a decision in a case involving Lynn, which was affirmed by the Supreme Court. So who knows? I think it's
and
an open
was,
question.
And that was reversed in the Supreme Court.
No, it's not.
I am going to jump in here because my gut tells me, based on this conversation, that the question of affirmative action is not yet decided in America, and we'll probably see many more court cases to discuss.
Right.
And I have to say, one of the great joys of this job is that we get to have guests like Judge Gertner and Professor Fried on to help us go deep, really, into these issues that matter. We didn't even get to talk about the other three cases that the court decided today, but you'll be hearing a lot of coverage on that later today on WBUR and All Things Considered. So let me say thank you to Judge Nancy Gertner, WBUR's legal analyst. Thank you, as always, Judge Gertner.
Thank you.
And Professor Charles Fried, Harvard Law School professor and former U.S. Solicitor General. It was a delight to have you back on the show, Professor Fried. Thank you so much.
Bye.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.